I'm smiling this morning seeing the, you're on time. What's the deal? Was that hard? I mean, thanks. Thanks for being here and fellowshipping in the hallway and singing together, and the glory of God can shine all around us, and that is just the right way to start a Sunday morning. Thanks. And I see some visitors here, and we welcome you to Indy Church and to the Word of God this morning. I want to introduce my brother James Imch from Phoenix. It's a blessing to have him and Gina here. And if you don't know, their son Stephen is going to marry Paige Souter here, Lord willing, in 4 weeks, 4 weeks from today, and we're looking forward to that. Because we'd planned kind of a special service this morning, Brother James is going to preach this afternoon, and we're looking forward to that. So, it's a good Sunday to do what we're going to do, because it's the first day of Sunday school, which is just special in itself. We're excited about a new Sunday school year. There's a Sunday school picnic this afternoon, and as families, we're settling back in for another school year. And so our heart is, as a church, to turn our mind and heart onto family today. Now, if you're single, if you're an empty nester, if you're about other things, this still applies to you, because it really is about understanding what God calls us to. It's about living in with purpose, and it's about being intentional. That applies to all of us, and the scriptures that we're going to read today apply to all of us. They just do, and they'll help us live in a good way. But we are going to focus on children, and we've invited those that... it's hard to know how to do it the first year, because where do you break it off? Sandy Lickley helped me go back and look, and there's been 72 babies born since 2005. Some of those families have moved away, and even more have moved in. It's a lot of children. So we went back and we looked at from 2015 through 2017, there's been 15 babies born and 14 different families. And so it seemed like good to focus on them and what they're doing. And that's how we'll end the service today. But I want to challenge all parents, even parents of teenagers at all ages, to think about this intentional life today. So let's turn and go to, let's start the day in Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are not going to be new scriptures, but they're going to be scriptures that are going to motivate our mind and stir us up. I can say that in confidence because, and I hope you've experienced Jesus Christ. I hope you've experienced Him living in you. I hope you know what it means to have Jesus or His Holy Spirit speak to you and motivate you and draw you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now listen. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them," or of them, "when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." In thinking about this and praying this over the years, sometimes the thought comes to my mind that with this group here today, I'm not sure you need to be told what your responsibility is. I'm not sure. I mean, yet, but some of you, even though we have the knowledge, we're not intentional. And I would kind of summarize today in three ways. I would say So, and you're all in different spots. So am I in our journey with Christ, in our responsibility to children. But I would say it's about growing in knowledge, understanding what God calls us to do and to be, what His desire is for us and for our children, which we began to read about. I would say then the second part of that is being intentional. So I know about it. So I know a lot about it. But what am I doing about it? What am I really doing? Oh, I intended to do that. But what is happening in my home? What is happening with my children? What am I really, honestly, more worried about? It's about being intentional. That's where the word dedication comes in. Purposely dedicating, being committed. And I'd say the third part of that is perspective. Because when you start thinking about, now, when your babies are young and you're giving it your all and you're half tired, and I wonder how it's going to be this morning with, you know, is Theo going to be pretty good? Yeah. You know, I mean, I felt for you. You got to come down front and, you know, you care so much. And then those little stinkers turn into teenagers. Those little babies that you're working so diligently toward. I don't need to tell you, I don't think to be diligent and to be intentional. But this is a reminder and a wake up. Because now you have things to deal with like cell phones and, you know, what do you do and how do you find family time and a lot more angst. I think the third part about it, the perspective part, is to know that it is God's work. That when those little stinkers grow into teenagers and they start doing what you don't want them to do and you start fretting about what you failed to do, because I'm going to tell you, parents, you're not perfect and you will fail. And you love them so much, you would die for them. And they start going their own way. You will know then that we depend, this perspective is that we depend on the grace of God and His power. And so while we're working diligently and doing all the things that we want to do, we are on our knees. We're on our knees and we're crying out to a Father. As you the parents and as we the church sow seeds, we till the soil, we water the plants, but it is God that gives the increase. Somehow in all of this, if we can grow in knowledge and we can be intentional and we can have perspective, then we as parents and as a church, we grow and our children grow and they express their faith in Jesus Christ and they live for Him. So when you read this, but we need to pray and we need to sing and pray, don't we? Let me say this yet about Deuteronomy. When we look at, I was just immersed in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I was thinking about these words, and there's so much depth in what this says. Be diligent. Go home and read it again. Read it around the table and think about what you're going to do. How are you going to be diligent? How are you diligent today? Man, that's a good, you know, you don't do that one time and then go your merry way, but you do that, I think, how often? How often do you sit as a husband and wife and say, are we being diligent? Sunday school teachers, we ask you to be diligent. First day of Sunday school, we ask you to take it seriously. To spend time on your knees and cry out to God that He would deliver the message, that He would teach you and inspire you. Parents, where's it going to come from but from Him? Our Father, by His grace. So let's sing. I thought about hymn number 147. I don't know why this came to my mind, but this morning I was sitting out on the patio and I was, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Here's how my mind went, and I would ask you to sing this and think about the words. This is the truth, okay? At the end of the day, when you have a day when the babies are bad and your husband's not responding, and or they're teenagers and they're misbehaving, or they're young adults and you don't know what to do, and you've done all you can do and you're stayed up all night, and then at some point in there, hopefully we think of Jesus. I mean, I hope it's early on. I hope you walk parallel with Jesus through it all and you're confident and calm in the blood of Christ all the way through. But through all that, I hope there's a point where we think about Jesus, because it is sweet. It is sweet to trust in Jesus. It's sweet because we realize from whom our blessings flow. We think about His grace and what He's done for us. So let's sing hymn number 147 together.
It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to
nice. That's so nice. Let's stand to pray. We have some in the chairs in the back. Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand before Thee now to cry out to our Father, the perfect Father, the one who cares for us and for our children and for our grandchildren and for those that we know and love, our community of believers. And Lord, we do so because You have taught us and we have experienced the truth in the Word, in Thy Word. And so, Lord, come into our midst this morning and impress it upon us what it is that we are to do, what we are to know. And Lord, remind us of Thy care, just through Thy Spirit, that we would know Your closeness to us and what that means to us personally and what it means to our children. What it means to our church, what it means to those that we work with and our family circles, Lord, we just pray for that perspective and that conviction, a knowledge and a conviction to be intentional, Lord, and to serve. But to serve in peace, not to serve in angst, Lord. We pray for all of that, and we thank Thee for Thy shed blood, for the redemption that is ours and all mankind. Lord, if we have sin in our life, we pray that today that we would be aware of it, that we would be even convicted. Lord, that we want to remove that, and we would want to confess it, and we want to draw closer to Thee. We pray that we would see Thee with open hands, open arms to us, beckoning us home to the peace and the joy that is in Thee. Oh Lord, we're so thankful for the victory, thy victory over death, and for the empty tomb and for the promise of eternity. Lord, we pray for that reality, that peace, that vision to be ours today and tomorrow. So now, Lord, we bring it all before thee. We pray for the Sunday school teachers in the afternoon, the Sunday school class, and for the picnic even today. We pray that, and we ask now in Jesus' name, amen. As we were singing, I looked out at a few couples without children, and I thought, oh my goodness, you maybe won't have children. How do you talk about this without saying, and remember for everybody, or I look at those of us that are older, that our kids are out of the house, and we're thinking, yeah, wow, if we could just only share it all. But it's such a beautiful journey. Young parents, don't be fearful of that. Embrace it. Embrace it with the energy and the faith and the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. I see some couples that are going to be married here. These things all apply. So turn with me now to Psalm 78. I'd like to read verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to end in Scripture, at least, in Romans 8, verses 15 through 17, where it talks about adoption. And such a powerful, powerful message and promise of God, the adoption, to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. At the end of the service, I want to ask I'm going to ask all parents, but I'm going to specifically ask the parents of babies from 15 through 17 about their commitment to their children, just from where you're sitting. And then I'm going to ask the church four questions, because the church, you know, I mean, in a city church where we're from 33, 34 different congregations, and we don't have enough grandparents, we've got to adopt one another. As He adopts us, we adopt one another. We have to. You don't have to. You know what? You don't have to. You know what? You don't have to. You can come and stand at the back of the church, and you can fold your arms, older people, and you could say, what is wrong with that kid? What is wrong with your parents? We didn't. That, you know what? That's not being a church family. It's just not. You know, it's what our Heavenly Father does. It's getting to know the children. It's having a relationship with them. That's what you Sunday school teachers do. They're not going to remember what you taught them, but they're going to remember your love. So I'm speaking to the church now, because as a church, you've got... You don't have to be intentional. You know what? You don't have to. This is where I pray for the Holy Spirit, that as we grow in our knowledge of God and His calling and our purpose, that His Spirit then, because it's His work, His Spirit would motivate us and convict us to be intentional, to be dedicated. I mean, after all, why would you worry about getting cleaned up and coming to church and caring about somebody else's kid? It's because they've got a soul. And because we see that little faith and that little seed of faith, and we want it to grow, and we're thinking about eternity, and we love them. And when they misbehave, if we have a relationship with them and we know their name, we can love them enough to care for them and put our arm around them and say, don't do that. And I, you know, when is that? Is it when they're running, or is it when they're teenagers and they're beginning to go down a path that we know is not good, or that we fear is not good? So, before we read Psalm 78, I want to talk about what a dedication is and what it is not. There is some angst about what that word means and what we're asking or what we're talking about today. And I like that angst. I like that angst because it makes us think about what, you know, when you're asked to commit to something, when you sign on the bottom line, when you say, I will do that, that is another level of commitment that sometimes we'd rather not take. We just rather not. So what dedication is about is dedicating or being intentional. Being intentional about what we do. You can dedicate yourself, and that's what you're asked to do. To commit yourself to this task, to this purpose. And we can dedicate this church building to the assembly and the worship of God. And we can dedicate the Sunday school rooms to that. And we can dedicate our money to God. But we can't dedicate our children. And you have to think about that a little bit. And it's a little frustrating because those little stinkers, can I keep calling them stinkers? Those kids that we love so much as they grow and we plant the seeds, we want them to live in faith. They have to dedicate their life to God. I think the other part of dedication, the angst of it is the conviction to think about, would I dedicate? Would I commit? Would I sign up for that? We kind of see where we are in our heart, in our understanding, in our fear. And what I fear is that we don't respond because we doubt. Because we doubt ourselves. We doubt our background. We doubt what we have and what we don't have. The size of our house and the money that we have. And we look at the wrong things. And I pray in reading the scripture that our doubt is removed. That our faith is increased. And we see that because of the Almighty God and His grace and His power, that all things are possible. How was it in your home? How was it in your life? Where did the seeds of faith come from? Did you have a perfect home? Was it perfect? Did you have Bible studies every night? That's kind of how we picture, that's how we picture perfectness, but that's not perfectness. But in my home, I'm not sure, I don't know. I mean, it was a perfect home for me. But for me, my seeds of faith come from mom and dad singing together. That was the scripture. That was the seed of faith that was just planted in my heart. How was it for you? I remember in Brandy's testimony, she talked about grandma sowing a seed. How many of you, was it your grandma or your grandfather that sowed the seeds of faith? Was it an aunt or an uncle? Was it a neighbor of yours that sowed the seed of faith? Being an intentional parent isn't a parent that just brings them to Sunday school. Just gets angry every morning, dumps them off at Sunday school, and lets it up to the church. Being a great parent isn't a parent that just simply has, you know, a time where they all know they got to march in, sit down at the table, and they got to hear the word. Boy, a parent with vision, a parent with an intentional nature, is one who knows and loves. And even as I say that, I go back to my home and I think about the pressure that we had to be the perfect parent, and it's not going to be. I mean, I guess I could ask if you're the perfect parent. Neil's saying no already. I say no already for me. But let's read Psalm 78 together. The first 8 verses. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. What that means is just things that are from the past, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they would make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. who would arise, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So where do you start? What did you hear there in verses 1 through 3? Where does it start? Where do you start? If you say, oh my goodness, I haven't thought about this before. I wasn't aware that, I mean, I thought that we just, I mean, what did you think? So he begins with listening. And that's what you're doing now. And when you pray and you read God's Word, in a way, you're listening. You're learning. You're growing. You're gathering. So he says, first, he says, give ear and incline your ears to the words. For me, I hope, I'm going to say this as a grandpa, I hope you would pay attention to what your mom and dad say to you, the grandma and grandpa say, that you would spend time together, that you would be intentional in that. Today is not a tactical day. This sermon is not about tactics. There's some tactical thoughts, but this is about vision. This is about conviction. This is about growing in knowledge. This is about being intentional as we respond to what our ears hear. And that's what the next part of Psalm 78 says. It moves from the hearing and the knowledge of truth. It moves to the intentional. It says, I'm not going to drop the ball. And men, I mean, I can't hardly talk about this because Len's going to say, you should talk. But I think it's a continual conviction for us that our second shift is the most important shift. And if we give it all to the place of work that we go, and we don't drive in the lane thinking about the most important part of our day, we are not being the spiritual heads of our home. We're not. So we, now listening to the Word and thinking about what is going to happen, we as men have to take the responsibility for the spiritual leadership of our homes. We got to. Because you're going to die soon. You're going to die soon. And when you die, that's what matters. That's what will be remembered. So when you're looking at your clock and you're trying to get one more thing done, and she's asked you to come home, and you got one more thing to do, you gotta get up and you gotta go. And as you're driving in, you're not thinking about ESPN and hitting the couch. I mean, you will, but you can't. Your flesh will go to what you want to go to. It will, because you're tired. You've given a lot at work. You're tired. And oh my goodness. And this, if you're single, you got to think about this, because you think being single is tough. Wait till you're sharing what's going on. We're driving in, and we're driving up the lane, and we're thinking about what we want to run and hide to do, and we have got to say a prayer to say, Lord, give me the strength and the grace and the vision to see what I should be. To walk in. Lynn, I'm convicted as I'm saying it. I know. Over and over again, my dear wife has had... And wives, how do you approach your husbands? How do you approach your husbands? It's hard, isn't it? Because the male ego is a difficult thing. How do you approach your husbands in love? And you know, I have to admit, sometimes Lynn had to get pretty forceful with me before I realized it was serious. Because in my... How is it in your flesh when you kind of know by the grace and the power of God, you know what you ought to do, but you know how you're responding. And oh my goodness, to get the balance of life is so important. And it takes communication. That part's tactical. But I know that you know that if you think you just have to do it and you're going through the motions because this is what I have to do to be a good husband and a good father, you will fail, because it's by the grace of God and by the power of this knowledge to say, you know what, I am going to listen. Why would I listen? Why would I care about Psalm 78? It's because of their soul. It's because belief. So if you go back to Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 5, it says that you will love the Lord thy God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You know what? We could have a month of Sundays on that verse right there, sermons, because that's where it begins. And I hope, I don't know, but I hope that all of you, every one of you, every one of you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That means that you know about Him and that you're learning about Him and you've learned enough to confess a faith in Jesus Christ. Because moms and dads, that's where it begins. That we love the Lord our God, it says thy God, but it's our God, with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might. Man, there's a lot in that verse. Hang that on the frontlets of your eyes. So that's how the scripture goes. And that's how it reads. So let's turn around to Romans. Let's turn to Romans 8, and we'll finish there, and then we'll talk to the parents of the church. Brother Joe covered this so well last Sunday, and it fits so well that Romans 8, verses 15 through 17 are so think about this, okay? Think about it. Plug this all together. This is about growing in knowledge, growing in faith, and then hopefully being moved by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God motivating us, we become intentional. We become dedicated to what is His and what His purpose is with perspective. But when you look at that call to a faith in Jesus Christ in Deuteronomy, and the call to what we're to do in Psalm 78, and then you look at what He has in store for us and what He has done for us and the adoption, I mean, man, think about being adopted by Jesus Christ. That means equal heirs. Joint heirs means that we're equal heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus got coming to Him, you got coming to you. I'd like to speak to the kids a minute. Kids, are you still paying attention? And this means, what's a kid? I mean, I'm going to say anybody from 21 on down. Hi, Holden. Our kids, are you paying attention? I mean, maybe you're zoned out. But this, you know what this is about today? This is about you. Young teenagers, 18-year-olds. This is about you. Do you understand how much we care about you? And I mean we collectively as a body. We care about you. In Jeremiah and in the Psalms, it says that God knew you in the womb. That God knew you in the womb. Before you were even formed, it says before you were even formed, before you had fingers, He knew you. God knew you and cared for you. And we as parents, sometimes life just happens and all of a sudden we got babies, but now we grow in our knowledge and we say, this baby is mine. No, it's God's. I want to be what? What are we of our children? We're stewards. What are we of our time and our talent and our money? We're just stewards. It's hard for me to comprehend that because my children and my grandchildren, they're mine. But they're His. And He formed them in the womb. Before they had fingers, He knew them. And He desired them to be one with Him. He predestined them to that kind of a life in Christ. He desired them to know them. And so, man, what do I do with that knowledge and that understanding? Oh my goodness, I want to be intentional in my own life before Christ. I want to get rid of sin in my life. I want to be full of the Spirit and full of grace. I want to play my role for God. Because I love God so much because He saved me. While I was yet a sinner, He died on the cross. And man, that is coming to know Him with my mind and my heart and my soul. That's what He calls for you and I. And all of our sin and all of our flesh and all of our tendencies and the things that so easily beset us are nothing in the grace of God. And by the grace of God, we fulfill His plan and His desire. And what is His, we are a steward of it. And I love the fact that His grace compensates for our inadequacies, our ignorance, where we spend too much time at work, where we don't give where we should give. Oh my goodness, His grace. It's so awesome. His grace fills in the holes. So just do what you can do. Just do what you can do. Work hard at it. Keep learning, growing in knowledge, and being intentional. Because we're just stewards of His. And when you keep that in perspective, after a while, and I hope you have perfect kids. I mean, maybe you will. I mean, some family, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. What's a perfect kid? And then sometimes I found that the one that I thought was perfect had stuff going on. The one I thought was, I mean, man, it'll mess with your mind. It will. But when we remember that they're His, and that we are the best steward that we can be, and when we're to be the best steward, we're mindful of Him and His power and His grace. It's a beautiful thing. So read with me. Let's be reminded of these scriptures in 8:15. And when we're done with this, I'm going to ask. And I emailed the questions. Too late. I brought some, but you'll see them. You'll hear them. And then Brother Ron's going to have a prayer blessing when we're done. So look at this. Be reminded. You had this last Sunday, 8:15. Now, you have not received, this is talking to you personally. This wasn't just written by Paul to the Romans. This is written to you by the Spirit of God. And He says to us, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And I thought that verse is so beautiful, because how do you talk about this? And how do you bring on conviction about, boy, I should be doing more? I mean, what's your response to that? He says, you're not in the spirit of bondage. This is not about bondage. This is not a little, I've already got too much going on. Don't put me on a guilt trip. This is not the bondage. This is not bondage of fear. This is an exciting opportunity. But you see, when you think about it in that way, you don't see it as something you have to do, or a nuisance, or, man, I wish I could watch ESPN tonight, or, man, I wish I could go with my buddies. It's about, wait a minute, what is really important? It's not to bondage, and it's not a fear. It's just not. See, I pick on the men because I don't know what the women struggle with. To me, the women are perfect, and you're just waiting on the men to come around. So I don't know. One of you women got to teach the women. I don't know. But it seems like, you know what's going on in your mind and heart, and how you can be more intentional. Be honest with your husbands about that. But you have received, listen to this, you got to think about this. You have received the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I could talk a month about this. Think about what Abba means. It's a word that means, it's a word crying out to your father. And so I even like the example of an infant. When your infants don't know what they want, but they know they need to be changed, they don't know what to say, they can't speak, what do? They cry. And then you go and you figure, if it's your first baby, you're calling mom going, I don't know what they're crying about. I've changed her diaper, I fed them, and they're still crying. Why are they crying? Why do they cry in the middle of the night? It drives you crazy. You can't sleep. The husband's faking sleep. The wife gets up, he helps. The husband in the morning says, oh, did they cry? Sometimes we really didn't hear it. Sometimes. It doesn't matter that you don't know what you need. With this relationship with Christ, He adopts us to His, and we cry, Abba, Father. We just cry to God. And God knows what we need. We cry. In our ignorance, we cry. In our fear, we cry. In our perceived bondage, we cry. We cry, Abba, Father. Oh my goodness, that's the beginning of faith. That's the fruit of faith, because He hears our prayer, He knows what we need, and He supplies our needs. That is so awesome. He has adopted us. He says here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And as we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, we don't have time to talk about being glorified together. I mean, if we really understand glorification and being glorified together, all of this is an absolute charge and glory and joy for us. So to finish up, I'm going to, because the parents aren't standing up here, because you're sitting around, I'm going to ask parents, and I'd like you to respond, parents, in your heart, in your mind, to the answers to these questions, because we're winding down here. And maybe in future years we'll bring the next, maybe next year it's just the babies all born in 17 or 18 or whatever the school year is, and we'll bring them up front. I don't know what that looks like. All we care about as a church is that we as a church adopt one another as we are adopted with Christ. And as parents, we're intentional about what we do. So I'm speaking to the families, babies born at 15, 16, and 17. We've had three so far at 17. We're averaging about five a year. And I'm going to read four questions. Think about them. I'm going to read them slowly. Think about this commitment or this conviction. And you can just answer in your heart or out loud if you want, with God's help at the end. But let me read these to you. Let me ask you a question. See, this is where it gets uncomfortable, right? Does it make you uncomfortable? In a way, it should, because it's about thinking about what you're doing. So I'll ask you this question. Are you committed to praying for your child, raising them in a home surrounded by the love of God and knowledge of His Son, Jesus? Let me go on. You have this email in your email box. Will you make teaching your child about Jesus the priority of your home? You see, you understand the word priority? You got to read every word. Will you make Jesus, teaching your child about Jesus, the priority of your home? What is the priority of your home now? Now listen. Will you entrust your child to God's care, remembering that they're His, calling on Jesus Christ and His grace to be with your child, recognizing that while you sow seeds, their salvation will come through faith, their faith, and His shed blood, and by His grace. See, that's perspective. Intentional and perspective. And the last is, will you commit to partner with this church community to seek their help and accountability and lead your children to do the same? Do you see the intention in that? So I feel awkward right now. I feel like I don't know what to say or what to do. And I guess I would, to make it meaningful, I would love to have you sign something. But unless we're led by the Spirit and we're convicted in our heart, I would ask you to respond in love in your heart to that's your commitment. Now to the Indy Church family, I want to say this. The parents, these parents, share this responsibility with all of us. All of us share this responsibility together. And this is what I would like to ask of the Indy Church. And I'd like you to think about how engaged you really are. Are you just showing up on a Sunday just to hang out and eat lunch? Probably not to eat lunch. Are you coming because it's your duty, or are you engaged? So let me ask you these questions. Will you commit to seek God? So will you commit to seek God so that you can live out the gospel before these children through both your words and your example? Is it this? Is it this? Is judgment what you're called to do? Or is it to love and to grow and to nurture and teach? Number two, will you commit your time, resources, and prayer to help those parents raise their child in such a way that they will come to follow Jesus and grow to desire to serve God? Will you encourage these parents toward Christian community and also provide a place in the church community for children to learn what it means to follow Jesus? And finally, either you're zoning out. One more question. Will you commit to partner with these parents, holding them accountable and encouraging them as they face the trials of parenting? Think about that. So with that, this is where I love the Holy Spirit. Grandparents, empty nesters, single people, this part of being part of this body is to carry out the desire of Christ. The reason He sent His Son to die upon the cross and shed His blood for you and I. That is not a spirit of bondage, but that is a spirit and an opportunity in faith that He calls us to.
Well, what a good message. And as we close, Brother Ken asked me to pray. So if we could all arise and pray. Lord, we cry out to Thee in this time. And Father, it is a special time, a time that we want to acknowledge our need before Thee, Father, that our desire for Thy help and our desire for Thy grace and Thy strength, and Father, that we know it's not by power nor by might, but by Thy Spirit, and we are thankful for the resources that Thou hast given us, and for Thee, Holy Spirit, and for Thy Word, and for Thy teaching and Thy instruction and Thy guidance. And Lord, we want to tell Thee that we love Thee. Even as we read in Deuteronomy, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. So, Father, together we say that we do love Thee. And, Father, for those of us that have spouses, a wife or a husband, Lord, we thank Thee for them and desire to love them the way Christ loved the church. And, Father, so we commit ourselves to loving our spouse, and we commit ourselves to loving our children, Lord, the way Thou didst love children. And Father, also Thy Word, to love Thy Word, and then to teach it diligently unto Thy children, and then talk about it when we sit in our house, when we walk by the way, when we lie down, and when we rise up. Father, make that a reality for us. And Father, even as a church, to partner with the young couples, to pray for them, to be by their side, Lord, to encourage them. And we dedicate ourselves to doing that, Lord. And Father, we entrust our children to Thee and to Thy care. And Lord, help us to do that with our heart and soul and mind and strength. And Father, we thank Thee for Thy promises that, because, Lord, we know that the Lord Thy God, He is God. Father, Thou art God, and Thou art a faithful God. And Father, Thou dost keep Thy covenant of love and mercy to us. And Father, we desire to keep Thy covenant and Thy love and Thy teaching. And Father, as we do that, we just ask for that Thou wouldst renew that through 1,000 generations, because we know, Lord, that's what Thou dost desire. So we thank Thee so much for this time. Bless the parents, bless the children, bless our church, bless each one as we seek to do Thy will, and we dedicate ourselves to the purpose of advancing Thy kingdom. And we know, even as Brother Ken said, our life will be over soon, and life is just a bunch of memories. And yet, Lord, we know that the memories that we build should be of Thee and Thy kingdom. So we thank Thee for this time. We thank Thee for Thy word. So bless us only as Thou can. And we love Thee, and we pray it in Thy Son's name. Amen.